Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Am I on or off? Genesis chapter 1 is where we're going to be at. If my stuff works right with me. Well, we're glad you're here. Glad to see you. Glad that God's given us another opportunity to be here today, aren't you? So I pray He'll speak to us through His Word today. Of course, if we don't hear from His Word, then we haven't heard anything at all, have we? So let's stand as we read the first chapter, if you would, of Genesis chapter 1. Excuse me, chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of Jehovah came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, O Lord Jehovah, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and he that shall be possessor of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my household, in my house, in my heir. Behold, the word of Jehovah came unto him, saying, This man shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come out from thine own bowel shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said unto, Look now unto heaven, and number the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believeth in Jehovah, and he reckoned to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am Jehovah that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down on the carcass, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was gone down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go unto the fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation that shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it come to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for all that you do for us every single day. We're thankful for the very breath of life, the opportunity we have to come in this building today as the body of Christ to worship you. Lord, we just pray that you'd take the words this morning that is said. Lord, I pray you'd anoint me and use me today. I pray that I would not stand in the way of what the Holy Spirit might be telling us today in our heart. And I pray every word I say would be spirit-led and spirit-fed. I pray as it goes forth that it might touch our hearts, draw us closer to you than ever before. And Father, we just give you this morning for your glory. We pray for souls to be saved, pray for lives to be changed. We pray for the saints of God to be energized today by the word of God, so that next week when we go out, we will be filled with excitement and anticipation of what exactly you're going to do as you open opportunities for us. So we give you this morning. for your glory. Hide me behind the cross. Let me preach with power and authority this morning. Take away me and put the Spirit in my place. And may you be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to start a new series today of a number of messages in a row, as we normally do. But this series is going to be based, I'm going to call it Faith Experienced. And today the first message in that will be Faith Assured. It's what we want to talk about a little bit. So I want us to just take a moment and get our mind on Him before we do anything. Focus on the Lord this morning as we begin to hear from Him. Now, I started on chapter 15, but the story of Abram, and if I call him Adam, please forgive me. Or if I call him Abraham, forgive me. Because I do that sometimes when I'm doing this. All right? But I am talking about Abram, okay? That's the one I'm talking about, okay? Just in case I say Billy Joe or something other. You know, I want you guys to know who I'm talking about. The story of Abram actually starts in chapter 12 of Genesis. It's an amazing story because God looked down and saw a mighty warrior, a vast amount of people that were wonderful people. That's not really what he done, was it? He looked down, saw one man, just one man. And he saw that man living in a land of paganism. Matter of fact, his father was named after a false god. And God saw Abram. And he called him. Not for anything he had done. Not for any characteristic he had to become a mighty man. He called him for one reason. God was going to take that nobody and give us today the Word of God. He was taking that nobody, and out of that nobody came somebody that saved the world. So I want us to just think about this just a moment. We would think that Abraham would never, ever do anything that would cause us to think that he needs to be assured in his faith. But I want you, all of us needs that. I've been walking with the Lord a long time. I've been pastoring and preaching a long time. But there comes times when I need somebody to come along, or I need the Spirit of God to come along. I need the Word of God to come along and assure me. Get me back to where I need to be in my relationship with Him, in the sense that I know that that He's there. I know that I'm walking with Him. I know I'm within His will. Well, Abraham had nothing to offer. He wasn't a great warrior. He was nothing. He was one man. And listen, in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, you ain't got to turn there, but you can if you want to. Here's the call that God told this one man. Now, Jehovah said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. That's the call of God on this man's life. If you will follow me, if you will respond to my call, I'm going to do great things through you. That's what God is telling us today. That if you will hear my call and you will believe the gospel and you will receive the call of the Spirit and you will come to me by the Spirit, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do some great things through you. And that's what we need. We need God working in our life. Listen, I don't mean in some hoodoo fashion, in some kind of magical mystery. We need God's authority over our lives. Because we as people, we as Christians, sometimes forget that we're God's children. Oh, we don't go out and do anything wrong, as what the world might think would be wrong. But there's never that moment whenever the devil is not trying to trip us up. So we have to look out. So let's just think just a moment about Abram. He believed God. And so you would think that in chapter 15, we wouldn't see him asking the questions he asked. God, I can just imagine, here's the way Abraham thought. God, you ain't doing what you said. You told me that you were going to call me, if I would follow you, Damon Lee version, okay? If I would just follow you, you were going to take me and make a great nation out of me. And here I am still childless. I don't have a single one to call where a nation can be called from. All I've got is someone that's been born in my house, Eleazar. He's not even of us. He's not even of my kindred. He is just a guy from Damascus. God, have you forgot what you said? Have you forgot what you promised? I can see him feeling that way. You can almost figure, God, have you ever said to God, God, why did you do that? Why did you allow that? God, do you see me here? Do you realize the mess that my life has got in? God, why did you let that happen? Well, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. All of us are going to face those things. But it's not long, listen, it's not long when we come to know Christ that the devil is in pursuit of us, so he just wants to mess us up. That's all he wants. Just as Abraham needed to be assured that God was still in touch with him and God was still doing what he said he was going to do, he asked him, God, what in the world are you doing? So God does what we wanted him to do. Because see, what do you do when doubts creep in? What do you do whenever you begin to feel yourself not really believing as we should have? What do we do when we find ourselves in need of reassurance and doubt begins to fill our hearts? Well, that's a tough place to be. We need reassurance. Now, and God will do that. If we need to be reassured, I guarantee you one thing, from this book right here, from the Word of God, God will fill our hearts with assurance that he will do and can do and is going to do exactly what he promised. And he's promised us some good things. Now listen, don't think because we're his that we're not going to face difficulties. Don't think because we're his our family's not going to get cancer. Don't think because we're his that I'm never going to have no financial issues. But because we're his, whether there's cancer, whether there's financial issues, whether there's divorce, whether there might be, whatever it might be, God will walk with us through it. He will not leave us. And that's when the devil wants us to doubt the most. God's got a way of reassuring us. He's done that for me a number of times. And so what God does, in a dream, he tells Abram, come here. I want to show you something. And he carried Abram out in the darkness. He said, look up. In all the darkness. Now, mind you, can you imagine what he saw? No pollution. No lights to dim the lights of heaven. Have you ever seen the sky on a crisp night when there's no clouds whatsoever and God is displaying his power? Have you ever seen it? It is amazing what it looks like in it. Because on them clear nights, you can see more than you've ever seen before. And I can just imagine Abram going out there and God saying, look up here. Can you count those stars? Can anybody number those stars? Did you know even today, with all they have, they cannot number the stars? Because there's masses of them. They don't even know how many there are. God said, can you count them things? Well, let me tell you something, Abram. That's exactly what your lineage is going to look like. I'm going to give you a nation among nations. I'm going to give you a nation that's going to number like these stars. Out of you is going to come some great things. But doubt and fear can make us miss what God has for us right now. God might be thinking something in the future for us, but if we're not paying attention now, we're not only going to be able to do what's in the future, we're going to miss the blessing today. And God don't want that. We're no different than Abraham. We are subject just like he was. He didn't walk around with the New Testament stuck in his back pocket. He didn't listen to Christian radio all day long. He didn't have it. But he had something that most people don't have today. He had an absolute faith that God was able to do it. And when doubt came, doubt seemed to be overpowering him. God comes on the scene. He don't leave us alone. He will never leave us. He's always there to encourage. He's always there to lift us up. He will always bring scripture into our mind. But if we don't have it in the well, it's not coming forward. God has something for us. And for someone to say that they never waver in their faith, I've had people say, well, you know, I've never even sinned one time since I come to know Jesus. Well, that was a lie. You just told me one. You just done a sin. You know, don't be lying to me sitting here like this. We all find ourselves in that place. If we are not faithful to God, if we forget his promise to us, just like he was telling Abram, how many people is not going to be blessed because we allow doubt and fear to overtake us? Because God's got a plan for our lives. There's someone in the future that needs to hear of your faithfulness. And I'm not saying they got to hear your name, but there has to be some results of our faithfulness. Let me ask you, what if everybody done exactly what I'm doing right now, and I'm talking about self. I'm not talking about Damon. What if everybody was doing what self is doing, how far would the gospel get tomorrow? If everybody trusted God like I do, where would the trust be tomorrow? We have to understand that God has something for us. But you know what? What does God do? He makes the promise. And what does Abram do? Well, how do I know? How do I know you're going to do that? Huh? I need something more than you are. When we get where we need more than the Word of God, we are in big trouble. Abram said, listen, all right, you tell me this. All right, what are you going to do to prove it to me? I need some proof here. Now, just your word. Listen, we get to the place where we don't trust God's word. You know why I say that? Because we try to do it ourselves. Anybody here ever tried to do stuff yourself besides me? Am I the only one? Listen, we forget to trust God. And God wants to do something through us, but we mess ourselves up by not being faithful. So what does he do? He carries him to Calvary. And I can tell you what Calvary does. Calvary expels doubt. It just does. It has something about Calvary. So you say, well, I didn't see nothing about Calvary in there. Well, let me tell you about it. He gives him directions. He says, here's what you got to do. You go get these animals for me. And here's what I want you to do. I'm just going to tell the story, all right? I want you to take those animals, and I want you to cut them right in half. Literally, slice them in half. The word for covenant in the Hebrew is to cut a covenant. It's not to make a covenant. It's to cut a covenant. So he said, you get these animals, sacrifice, is what we're looking at here, and you divide them, and you set them aside. What's that for? Well, in Abram's day, this was normal for a covenant to be made. The two men that was making the covenant one with each other, they would lay out the sacrifice, and then one would come on one end of it and the other on the other end. And after laying that out, they would walk to the middle of that sacrifice that was laid out, and they would join hands together. And there in the midst of the sacrifice, they made that covenant. And that covenant was absolutely unbreakable. If you broke the covenant, your life was taken. See, the covenant meant something. So God said, you take it and lay it out there. So Abram done exactly what he said do. And he sat there all day long, waiting for the covenant maker. He sits there, and it says when the buzzards would come, he would run them off. Well, night come, and God gave him a deep sleep. And in that deep sleep, he showed him the vision. See, God was not making a covenant with Abraham. This is the name of Lethal here. God was making a covenant with himself for Abraham. See, in a covenant, both men had to keep their end of the covenant. But see, when it comes to our relationship with God, man has no power to bring ourselves to him. Man has no power to keep himself. So God puts him to sleep. He lays him out to sleep. And what does it do? God walks through the sacrifice. You know why? Because he was making that covenant with himself, because he knew Abraham would not be able to keep it. Why? Because Abraham was going to die. He tells him, well, your seed's going to come. There's going to be 400 years of bondage. Then I'm going to bring them out. After four generations then, I'm going to bring them in. Abraham couldn't keep that. We cannot keep it with God either. Listen, I'm so thankful he took salvation out of the hands of man and put it in the death of Christ and his resurrection. If he had not done that, guys, we would be in a mess. Nobody would be saved. Everybody would be lost. I'm just thankful that God carries us to Calvary. I'm so glad on that cross the sacrifice was made so that Damon Lee could believe the gospel. I'm so glad that he sent someone by with the gospel. I heard the gospel. I believed the gospel. And you know what? He brought me into the kingdom of God. I didn't do anything. It was him. And him alone. I could do nothing of my own to bring myself where God would say, yes, you deserve heaven. But he's made a covenant with us. And this morning He wants to confirm that with us. He wants to confirm to us the promise and not let that promise get away. When someone comes to Christ, it's not because we've told them how wonderful church is. It's not because we've told them what a great hamburger party we've had. They come to Christ because someone tells them they're sinners. Did you know we're born sinners? The Bible says before the foundation of the world, listen, He knew you. Before the foundation of the world, your name was written. He knew from the moment you were born that you would be saved or lost. But listen, the Bible says it's not His will that any should perish. We're born perished. It is only by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here it is, listen. I know we Baptists are bad about this. If you'll just sit down with me, let me take Romans 10, 9, and 10, carry you through that, go through the Romans road with you. If you'll just, and say this little prayer that I'm going to tell you how to pray this prayer. If you'll just do that, you're His. What if the Spirit's not calling you? We come only by the Spirit of God. What if He's not calling? And they say that little prayer. It scares me whenever we tell someone, say this prayer, and they're not meaning it from their heart. They're just saying it because they don't want to go to hell, and they just say, well, I'm going to say that prayer, and then I'll be all right. Unless, listen, we are not converted unless we follow Him. If we're not following Him, if we're not obeying His word, guess what? We're not His. We're not His. We might say we are. We might say, well, when I was 10 or I was 5, I said this little prayer. And everything was wonderful. But unless we follow Him, that's how we know that we've been born of God. And God confirms that with us by His Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And listen, His job in us, or what He does in us, we can't command Him to do anything. He just comes and lives, takes up an abode with us, lives in the very midst of our soul, in the very midst of our beings. And that Holy Spirit of God, what He does, He guides us. He teaches us. He corrects us. He rebukes us. The Holy Spirit of God is our, if you would, our ear to God. And He leads us. And when we need comforting, He comforts us. He's called the Comforter. He will confirm in your spirit that you are His. And when He confirms it in your spirit that you're His, we will follow Him. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, when you are endued with power, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will be a witness. What does that mean? That means I'm going to tell Him. No, don't get confused on this. That doesn't mean you go learn the five laws. What that means is just simply this. Your life is a witness. Your life is a witness. How you live your life is a witness. And listen, we witness for Christ because we follow Him. Don't be mistaken on this. It's not some program we learn. It's because God has given us the Comforter to dwell within us, and because that Comforter lives in there, He will lead us and guide us and teach us, and He will also make our lives where it will exalt Christ. This stuff of what Christians do today, I think, misses the mark by a long shot. I think that if my faith can't carry me to the Word of God, can't carry me to my knees, can't carry me as a witness, can't carry me as a part of the body, something's wrong. When we're sitting home with nothing to do and we wonder, and God's people out there and people dying to go to hell, what do we do? Well, we turn it on TV later and we can see Red Skelton sometimes. We need someone. There's somebody out there today that needs you to reaffirm them. They need you to encourage them. Just like Abram needed it. There's plenty out there whose lives are a mess, and they need someone to say, hey, I'm here with you. I'm here for you. I support whatever it is that you do. Jesus Christ passed in that sacrifice that God gave. He passed on the cross for us. In between God and man, Jesus was lifted up. See, He is our sacrifice. He is our covenant cutter. And He has done it permanently. See, Abram had to get up to the place where they had to get. There was a long time yet that there was no law. There was a long time yet there was no sacrifice. A long time yet before God gave the law. So what do? Abraham did not come to God because the sacrifice had been made. You know why? Because the sacrifice had not been made. Jesus was still almost 2,000 years in the future. The law had not even been given. We're talking about 700 years probably before the law was even given from this point. So what did he do? How did that happen? Well, the Bible said when he believed that sinfulness that was in his heart from our father Adam, when he believed, the Bible says God accepted that as righteousness. Faith is what we have to stand on and do not waver from it. And I can tell you the only thing going to assure us of our faith is that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. The Spirit of God is leading us. The Spirit of God is there as a witness for us. Faith is something that we have. We have faith. Every time we get in the car and ride down the road, we got faith. That guy coming, he's not going to run into me head on. We got faith. When we do things sometimes because danger is out there, but we just believe that everything's going to be okay. The only thing that I know is not going to be okay is for a sinner to find themselves in the hand of a just God. Now, the Bible said in the darkness, when it was dark, he saw a lamp and a smoking furnace come through that sacrifice. What does that mean? It means that God is a fiery judge. God, for lack of a better expression, God is that smoking wrath of judgment. He is. But he's also a God of light. Here comes the oil, the light. God is a God of light. In the absolute darkness, God is light. And darkness can do nothing with light. Light expels darkness. Just a little one. A little match. So here we got an issue. We've got a God who is a God of light, a God of love, who loves you and me with an everlasting and unchanging love. His love for us is never affected by our obedience or disobedience. He loves us perfectly. We got a loving God. On this hand, we've got a fiery judgment, which says, because we're sinners, we must die. Isn't that what he told Adam? If you eat of this tree, if you disobey my commandments, if you don't follow my word, and you take of this tree, you will surely die. So we got a God who loves us, and a God who is absolutely just in his judgments. How does those two meet? A God, they oppose each other. We've got the fieriness of the judgment of God, and we've got love saying, no, don't. And we've got the love of God, and the fiery judgment saying, no, don't. No, you can't. There has to be a penalty paid. And God, in his wisdom, he didn't devise a plan. He had the plan. And he brought the fiery judgment of God that demanded death, and the love of God who asked for grace, and in his Son, Jesus Christ, those judgments of God met. And the price that demanded death was settled in the death of Jesus Christ. Because of that factor, God can commit to us a promise. We can be absolutely sure, we can be assured, we can be absolutely definite about this thing without no fear that God's Son has died and paid the price for my sin. And instead of having to do all this works that the law was making those guys do so that they could see they needed a Savior, Jesus has done it for us. But see, just him doing it for us is wonderful. Because we see the love of God in that. But we must believe. And I don't mean for a moment. This word believe is an ongoing word. It means it's faith. I'm believing it. I believe it today. I don't believe it tomorrow. This, that, and the other. It's not like that. Why? Because God assures us with the Holy Spirit. He gives us absolute assurance of our faith in Jesus Christ. His promise does not depend on man at all. He's taken us out of the equation. He hasn't given us to keep. Matter of fact, when we're dead in our trespasses and sin, we don't even know nothing about God. We know nothing about sin. When you're dead, you're nothing. I mean, we know nothing. It is only when God, through his act of love, when grace and judgment came together, it gives us mercy. And God withholds what we really need and has put it on Jesus. It don't depend on us. It depends on him. But in faith, when we believe, what happens there, it draws us to him. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness. Not by works. You can't do enough. You can't work enough. It is according to his mercy that he saves us. So this morning, as we think about our faith being reassured, there's something we need. Abram wanted something besides God's word. He wanted some kind of physical, God, what you gonna do to show me? You know, he was trying to fleece God. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do for me so that I'll know you're gonna keep your promise? But what we need to understand is we don't need something physical. What we need is the Word of God. The Word of God. This is the water of the Word of God. The Word of God will wash us and clean us. The Word of God will make us recognize that we need a Savior. It depends on the Word of God and on his Son. If we're going to be assured of our salvation, if we're going to be assured of our faith, what we have to do, we have to be in the Word. And we have to trust his Son. Don't think we're going to get there in heaven and Jesus is going to be impressed with us by what we've done to get there. He won't be. Because we've done nothing to get there. He's done it all. So faith needs reassuring. And it's going to take the Word of God to reassure us. Now, how do we do that? Well, you're doing it right now. You're in the house of God. I do not believe that we can be a Christian right with God and not be convicted one bit about not going to church. I just don't believe that. We can be closed down on Sunday nights, you know, like we do with Mother's Day and Father's Day. Sometimes we have those all-day stuff and we close down. Me and Wanda sat at the house, we're just as convicted as we can be. It's like, why in the world we close church tonight? I said, we could have just went out there and had some hot dogs or something and just be together. I get convicted when churches shut down. I really do. That's the honest truth. So I don't know how people can miss church week after week, service after service, and still say they're right with God. I don't understand that. You know why? Because they're not following the Word of God, and they're not loving Jesus the way Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And they will not be grievous. Don't leave that part off. Jesus said, it will not offend you to do what I've asked you to do. So faith is assured. Faith is a sure thing. But there is times where we need somebody to come along beside us. You guys know about my old encourager. I ain't saying this to try to do anything, but I can tell you, when you got somebody that just walks up to you, puts their arm on your shoulder, and say, brother, I love you. I appreciate you. I don't know of anything that will encourage someone more than that. And I'm thankful God gave me a man like that years ago. Now, he's being rewarded for that stuff that he told me in secret. Nobody knew it. Because he knew we need an encourager. Who will you encourage this week? Is there somebody out there that you're with that you can encourage this week? Is there somebody out there that you can share the gospel with? Is there somebody out there that you will live a life of Christ before them so that they might be drawn by the Spirit of God unto the Christ? Or will we just go about our business as we normally do? We get home. The Bible either lays in the car, back seat of the car, till the pages turn up like this. And we see it the next Sunday when we take it out, walk in the church, and hope the preacher reads it right, which is, with me, is just about impossible. What about the Word of God? Are you having your time with the Word of God? You're not going to be encouraged if you don't. You're not going to have that assurance if you don't. What about man? Are you encouraging someone else? Are you praying for someone else? Faith assured is something that is needed in all of our lives. And I don't know of anyone that can assure us more than the Holy Spirit of God on our face before God, saying, "Oh God, please help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. Help this doubt that's in my heart right now. Help this doubt that's in my mind. Help me right now. Reassure me, God." And He'll do it when we're on our face before Him. He's done it for me many a time, and He will do it for you. Give Him a try. See how faithful He is. Father, we're thankful today that You have given faith. You gave us a measure of faith. That's what the Word says. You're the one who gave us our faith. And You give us a little bit of light that we might see truth. Because we saw the light and heard the gospel and believed. You brought us into Your kingdom. Lord, I just pray today the message that I've tried to share about the assurance of our faith, or being assured of our faith, being encouraged. Lord, I pray that You would help us be encouragers one to another. Help us pray one for another. Help us love one another. For Jesus told His disciples, "They will know that You are My disciples because you love one another." Help us love, Lord. Help us receive what You have for us through Jesus Christ our Lord for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Save the lost. Encourage that one this morning that don't know You. That one is not walking with You, that saint of God who has gave their life to You, but Lord, doubt and fear has entered in. Touch the hearts, whatever it is they're needing today, and we will glorify You in what You do. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We stand on our feet. They're going to lead us in a song. The altar's open this morning. If you need encouraging, if you have some doubts, you have some fears around this old-fashioned altar that's made real pretty with these flyers, let's come and get on our face before God. I just believe in the old-fashioned altar. I can't help it. I believe that's where, well, I know that's where we pray when we draw the chalk line to make that thing. God, we're going to meet You here. So this morning, He wants you to be assured. Won't you come today and do business with Him? Because He wants to do business with you as we sing.